Chapter 22. Athletes of the Small Muscles. Musicians Dystonia. In 1997, I received a letter from a young Italian violinist who related to me how he had started playing the violin when he was six, had gone on to the conservatory, and then embarked on a career as a concert violinist. But then, at the age of 23, he started to experience peculiar difficulties with his left hand, difficulties which, he wrote, have cut short my career and my life. Playing pieces of a certain degree of difficulty, he continued, I found that the middle finger was not responding to my commands, and imperceptibly tended to shift from the position where I wanted to place it on the string, affecting the pitch. He consulted a physician, one of many he was to consult in the years to come, and was told that the overwork of this hand had caused an inflammation of the nerves. He was advised to rest and desist from playing for 3 months, but this, he found, had no effect. Indeed, when he resumed playing, the problem had become worse, and the strange difficulty in controlling finger movement had spread to the fourth and fifth fingers. Now only the index finger remained unaffected. It was only when he played the violin, he stressed, that his fingers disobeyed him. They functioned normally in all other activities. He went on to describe an odyssey of 8 years in which he had consulted physicians, physiotherapists, psychiatrists, therapists, and healers of every sort all over Europe. He had been given many diagnoses: strained muscles, inflamed tendons, trapped nerves. He had undergone carpal tunnel surgery, faradization of nerves, myelograms, MRIs, and a great deal of intensive physical therapy and psychotherapy, all to no avail. Now, at 31, he felt that he could no longer maintain any hope of resuming his career. He had a deep sense of bewilderment, too. He felt that his condition was organic, that in some way it came from his brain, and that if there were any peripheral factors, such as nerve injuries, these had at most played a subsidiary part. He had heard, he wrote, of other performers with similar problems. With almost all of them, a seemingly trivial problem had grown steadily more severe, resisted all attempts at treatment, and ended performance careers. I had received a number of similar letters over the years, and had always referred my correspondence to a neurologist colleague, Frank Wilson, who had written an important early paper in 1989, Acquisition and Loss of Skilled Movement in Musicians. As a result, Wilson and I had been corresponding about so-called focal dystonia in musicians for some time. The problems my Italian correspondent described were not, indeed, anything new. Such problems have been observed for centuries, not only in players of musical instruments, but in a variety of other activities that demanded continuous, rapid movements of the hands or other parts of the body over long periods. In 1833, Sir Charles Bell, the famous anatomist, gave a detailed description of the problems that could affect the hands of people who wrote incessantly, such as clerks in government offices. He later called this Scrivener's palsy, though it was already well recognized among such writers, who called it writer's cramp. Gowers, in his 1888 Manual of Diseases of the Nervous System, devoted 20 close-packed pages to discussing writer's cramp and other occupation neuroses, the generic term he adopted for a group of maladies in which certain symptoms are excited by the attempt to perform some oft-repeated muscular action, commonly one that is involved in the occupation of the sufferer. Among clerks who suffer writer's cramp, Gowers said, lawyers' clerks constitute an undue proportion. This is no doubt due to the cramped style in which they commonly write. On the other hand, writer's cramp is practically unknown among those who write more and under higher pressure than any other class, shorthand writers. Gowers attributed this freedom to their using a very free style of writing, generally from the shoulder, which is also adopted by them in longhand writing.